Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And a very good Saturday morning to you and yours. Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Thank God it's not raining today, huh? The last 3 days just been rain. It's a lot. It's a lot to handle in 2020. Everything's a lot to handle as the pandemic begins to sweep through again, unfortunately. But we're not gonna spend a lot of time on that. But a little bit of time, not a lot of time on that. I got the Masters on. So here's the ideal for you. And Ty back in the studio, I think this is the ideal for you as well. Put the TV on the Masters. It's on ESPN. You watch. You mute it. I'm sure there's audio you'd like to hear, but there's something a little bit better. And that is this show. So you watch the Masters. You listen to the show. You have a cup of coffee. Maybe feet go up. And that's your morning. You look outside. It's crisp. It's cool. When I'm done, then or maybe during the show, you put your headphones in. You listen to the ESPN app, and you go for a little walk. It'll lull in the golf. I mean, there's many options for you here today. And I thought, of course, it's the staples, right? We're gonna do what we do. Stump Rothenberg, 10:30. RJ Bell, 11 o'clock. RJ Bell's polarizing. I kind of love it. I can't tell you how many tweets I get. This guy's the best. He's unbelievable. Can't stand him. He's very disparaging. That's what makes good radio. So I thought about it last night into this morning. Where do we start? And I thought, maybe we start in Mets. And I thought, well, listen, the Mets are there. It's exciting, but we're kind of in a holding pattern with the Mets, right? We have the new owner. You're thrilled about it. You can't believe this is happening. You pinch yourself every time you think about it. Marcus Stroman is staying, but this is where we are, right? Until a big free agent signs, until they, you know, ink a GM, this is where the Mets are. Stroman staying. You're waiting on Bauer. You're waiting on Real Muto. You're waiting on Lindor. You're waiting on Springer. You're waiting on Arenado. You're in a holding pattern. So I decided, all by myself, put my big boy pants on, decided, you know, we're not gonna lead with the Mets. And then I thought to myself, you know, I think maybe we lead with the Knicks. And then I thought, yeah, yes, that it's a big story, this Russell Westbrook story, of which I do not want. And I know a lot of people say, well, you got to spend the money somewhere. That's great. I don't want to spend $130 million on that. I was under the impression that this was going to change, that it wasn't just going to come in and willy-nilly, let's just bring in a high-priced guy, we'll overpay him, he'll be here, he'll change. Like, I thought that's not what we were going to do. And I thought long and hard about starting with the Knicks. And then I decided, no, you know what? No. We'll get into the Knicks in the 10 o'clock hour. But I think the lead here, as they call it in the business, the jumping off point before we bring in Ty and wish him a good morning and have a pleasant back and forth with him in about 10, 12 minutes, it's the Giants. And I'll tell you why. First of all, we're in the midst of football season. Second of all, this is, for many different reasons, a huge football game for the Giants. And I'll tell you why. Because this could go either way now. The Giants are, and all these statements are true, well within reach of winning this division, yet well within reach of having one of the worst five teams in all the NFL. And I really think tomorrow could really be kind of a crossroads of this organization of moving in one direction or the next. Now, it's the Eagles. You detest them. They are not a great football team. You have a quarterback that turns the ball over a lot. They have a quarterback that turns the ball over a lot. But my ultimate thought process was this in wanting to start out with the Giants. Do you realize how big of a game tomorrow is? Not for this season. Not for whether they win the division or not. But just for the, and really, and I don't think this is hyperbole, the entire future of the organization. You go out there tomorrow and you beat the Eagles and Jones plays well. Now, you've given your fan base real hope here. You're legitimate contenders to win this division, whether you like it or not. And it's clear that the message being sent from the head coach is working, because what he did with Golden Tate was letter to the law perfect of how you want to handle a disgruntled, difficult player. Golden Tate's going to take to social media. His wife's going to take to social media. You know, we're going to punish you in-house. Everyone's going to know you've been punished. And then we're going to leave it at that. And that's what they've done. So much so that Golden Tate had a little mini press conference yesterday saying, I messed up. I should have been better than that. I wasn't. It's my fault. He either knows it or he's playing that side of the football right now, and he's going to admit that he was just a bad guy and made a bad decision, and that's what happened. So Joe Judge has handled that flawlessly. But here's where we are, guys. You have 7 games left in a season, which clearly hasn't been what you've wanted, but it's also given you moments where you look at this team and say, you know what? We're not that bad. I mean, this team, and I hate to take the record and throw it out the window and say to you, but they were in this game. But I'm going to for a moment, and I'm not a fan of this. Yeah, but, you know, 2-7 is not really 2-7. It's 2-7. That's what they are. But you could easily argue that this team could be sitting here at 5-4. They should have beaten Philly. They should have beaten Tampa. They should have beaten Dallas. I mean, there are games. I'm not even giving you the Bears game. I'm not going to give you the Rams game. The Niners game was not even competitive. But there's no reason this team's not sitting here at 4-5 or 5-4. And then you'd say, listen, they're front runners for this division. But I want to go back to the point. I want to get your take on 800-919-3776. And that is this game tomorrow. It really, you could argue, sets the path of the future of the franchise. A loss tomorrow, you're 2-8. Now you've lost again. Now you play Cincinnati. Then the schedule gets tough. You could argue that a loss tomorrow finishes you at 3-13, and you are one of the worst 5 teams in the NFL. Not to mention a loss tomorrow, it would lead me to believe that the quarterback has not played well yet again. See, there's 2 ways of looking at this thing. If the quarterback plays well and if the quarterback doesn't play well. I'm assuming, and maybe this is a dumb assumption, I'm assuming if Daniel Jones does not play well, that the Giants will lose. And if Daniel Jones plays well, that odds are the Giants are going to win. And when I say plays well, I'm incorporating everything. I'm incorporating, you know, is successful, moves this team, doesn't turn the football over, all of it. Because I think if that happens, if he plays well and he hits his receivers and there's not a lot of turnovers or any turnovers, that the Giants find their way to a victory. So really tomorrow, guys, because after this game tomorrow, you've got 6 left this year. Tomorrow, realistically, could set the path for what this organization is moving forward. Who my quarterback's going to be, if I have any chance at any semblance of a divisional spot this year, and am I going to be in the market for a quarterback? And am I going to be one of these teams that, you know, by 9 o'clock next Thursday night in April, the New York Giants are on the clock? Where am I going here? Well, tomorrow is going to be a big definer of where, in fact, this organization, this franchise, this quarterback is going. Head coach, I believe. You might say, Dave, it's premature. We're not there. Maybe you're right. I believe. I think he's the answer. The way he's handled everything. This is not a very talented football team. They're in every single game. They're not winning yet. I get it. It's frustrating. It drives me crazy. Some people are angry every Sunday. Some people are just, this is how it is every Sunday. But the bottom line is this. Tomorrow's game is a very important football game. And I know we've had a bunch of these. The Cowboys game was a very important game. The Bucks game was a very important game. The first Eagles game was a very important game. At some point, beating the Washington football team exclusively and losing to everybody else is not okay. And let's be honest, that's what Daniel Jones is. Against Washington, he's terrific. He is sensational. What is he, 4-0 against Washington? Well, I have news for you. Washington stinks. Washington is horrendous. You think you're bad? You think the Giants are bad? They took a quarterback first round. He didn't even play. They took a quarterback first round. He played half a season, and they already know he's not the answer. We don't want him. We're moving on. Yes, there's your level of dysfunction, and there's the Washington level of dysfunction, and it's many levels down. You have to take the elevator way down, below ground, to find out where Washington is. But tomorrow, you might begin to get some answers about where the Giants are. And Philly's no 84 Niners, by the way. This is not the 90s Bills. And I hear, well, Jalen Reagor's coming back, and, you know, Miles Sanders, and, I mean, okay. Hardly is this murderer's row of a football team. So here's what I say. Go out there, win this game. Go out there, beat the Eagles. Go out there, get good quarterback play. Go out there and improve to 3-7 and have some semblance of a chance to win this division come Monday morning. Because if not, and I don't think it'll spiral because I think the head coach is good. There's not a lot more wins on the schedule for this team. There's just not. It does not exist. You have Cincinnati next week, which is winnable And then it gets really tough until Dallas week 17. So this is where we are. A very important week 10 matchup between the Giants and the Eagles. And I will tell you this. If Philadelphia wins this game tomorrow and somehow improves to, I guess it would be, what, 4-5-1, this division is over. Done. You can lock it up. You can throw away the key. Because the Giants will have been swept and will be sitting here at 2-8. Washington, as mentioned, is unwatchable. And Dallas may be the worst of all of them. So just to keep the division competitive and to keep your interest peaked over the final six games of the season, this is a very important game for the New York Giants. And maybe bigger than all of them, what's with the quarterback? Because you know what? We're really not sure. 800-919-3776. So we will get into the Knicks and Westbrook and what you'd like to see them do and the draft on Wednesday, amazingly enough, November 18th. And then free agency, and then the season starts about 5 weeks. We will briefly, not a ton, get into the Mets and the excitement that the Mets fan has right now. But our jumping off point is the Giants and the magnitude of the game tomorrow. So let's do it. 800-919-3776. Rothenberg with you on a Saturday morning right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Weeknights at 10 p.m. It's ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty. Reactions after the day in sports and everything in between. Larry Hardesty is your nighttime co-pilot on ESPN New York Tonight. Weeknights at 10 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN.
United Healthcare Medicare Advantage plans come with a lot to take advantage of. Visit AdvantageWow.com to learn more. That's AdvantageWow.com to learn more about United Healthcare Medicare Advantage plans.
Hey, SEC fans, I'm Nick, here with my brother Brett.
Hey there.
We work at Johnsonville, a family-owned company that's been making sausage since 1945. Brett and I make smoked sausage every day.
We take actual wood chips, light them on fire, and let that smoke add unbelievable flavor.
And we never use fillers.
That's right. We use 100% premium pork. We call that smoked sausage made the Johnsonville way.
And we're working hard to earn the right to call Johnsonville the official sausage of the SEC. Give us a shout when you're watching the game this weekend and let us know what you think.
All right, guys, there's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM Sports is the king of all sportsbooks. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1, that's a $1 money line wager on any pro football team. And if they score a touchdown, you win. Just use bonus code DAVE100, that's DAVE100, when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. If you're ready to start betting with confidence and turning big plays into paydays, then sign up today and discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection tools, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and so much more. Download the app today or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code DAVE100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager just $1 on any pro football team to score a touchdown. It's always showtime at BetMGM. And we welcome, and as we always do this very time on a Saturday morning, the one and only from the Newhouse School of Communications, Ty D. Butler. Good morning, Ty. How are you?
Good morning, David. I am talking to you. Why does that sound like that? I am talking.
Sounds fine to me. Never sounded better.
Wow. What's going on here?
You sound great.
Do I?
Terrific.
Okay. I'm coming to you.
Mellifluous. yes. I mean, just all the positive adjectives I could possibly think of, you sound like that.
I am coming to you live from the Rodney Belzaire Studios.
Yes. It's just the Belzaire Studios, I believe.
Can we just, I really want to make that a thing. I need you at multiple points during the week to mention that this studio is named after Rodney Belzaire.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. Rodney Belzaire, our beloved chief engineer, what would we call him? At 98.7?
Our technical, well, he's our
savant.
Technical
Here's
savant.
Here's the thing. I love Rodney. Love him. But I just don't care that much. Like, whether we call it Studio A or the Belazaire Studio,
you should care. We would not be here without him.
And I acknowledge that.
It just shows how disrespectful and ungrateful you are.
It doesn't matter to me all that much.
It should matter.
Like, I'd like it to be called the Rothenberg Studio.
Look, of course, because you're self-centered, and all you care about is yourself.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Not all. I mean,
majority, but not all.
95% of the care that you have is about Dave Rothenberg. That's 5%. Yeah, and the Giants relate
about the Knicks.
And those are things that consume you because they're teams you root for. So ultimately,
I care about my wife.
Ultimately, it comes back to you.
My kids.
If you have a rooting interest in it, it means that the center of it is about you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Huh.
I need you to care. So can you do that for me?
Maybe you can work on me during the course of the show, but as of right now, whether it's the Studio A or Studio B or the Belisaire Studios, it doesn't really have any huge impact on me.
All right, fine. Listen, can I just say this, Dave?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It speaks to your brilliance because when you delivered that, what I would call magnificent open, I was ready to rip you to shreds during the break.
Really?
Because there were so many things I disagreed with.
But isn't that the beauty of an open?
It is.
I'm not just coming out and be like, all right, big game, Giants and Eagles, and Carson Wentz against Daniel Jones. Like, you emoted after that segment. You wanted to pick up the phone. Now, luckily, you have the pipeline to me directly, more than almost anybody. But you want to get immediate involvement because you were so bothered by that open.
Yes, I wanted to rip you to shreds. But, as I mentioned, the brilliance of you is that you brought it full circle because you argued the other side of it as well. And how bad this team is. And, I mean, you can look at, well, they were in this game and they were in that game. Bad teams find ways to lose games.
I agree with you. And
that's what they do.
They're a bad team.
That's
all I'm saying is if you're ever going to be a bad team and want to compete for a division title, this is the year and this is the division.
Absolutely. And if you beat the Eagles, I don't know, because you said tomorrow could be the turning point. Beating the Eagles, I don't think, is the turning point. That's another bad football team.
So they are a bad football team, but here's the thing. They're what? What's the Eagles' record right now?
3-4-1.
So if they lose their 3-5-1, you're 3-7. You have a real chance to win this division.
But you feel good about this?
Do I feel good for a normal season? Would I feel good if this was 1988? No. Do I feel good right now? Yeah. You know what? The Giants, who are not very talented.
No.
Who I'm uncertain whether they have the quarterback or not. I look at them right now, and I think they have a real chance to win this division. So, look, ultimately, normal season, would I love this? No, of course not. But given what they are, given what the season is, am I pleased that they have a game in mid-November, which is important? Yes, I'm pleased about that.
You don't know if you have a quarterback. He can't stop turning the ball over.
I agree with you.
And
what did I just say? If you listened to the open, you would have heard that.
No, but I wanted to take it a step further because I keep hearing that, you found a head coach. How do we know you found a head coach? The team stinks. You've got two wins.
See, this is just the bad side of you shining through. You know.
How do you know?
Okay, can I ask you
through
a question?
Through 9 games, you have 2 wins.
Can I ask you a question?
Ask.
You're a smart guy. You're an educated guy.
All right, sure.
You're a man of mystery and all that. Do you have any idea? And I'm going to put you on the spot. You might not know, and then I'll give the answer, and that's fine. Do you have any idea what Bill Parcells' record was after year one?
Was it 3-13?
Close. Very close. They were 3-12-1 that year.
Yeah.
And you know what? You kind of knew. The Giants kind of knew.
Yeah, so you know what? Well, you know what I see when I watch Joe Judge on the sidelines? I see the second coming of Bill Parcells. Come on, Dave.
I'm not saying that you do. I'm saying for you to look at this and to not acknowledge that at a minimum it feels like you found the head coach. Ty, were they competitive last year?
No, they were not.
Were they the laughing stock of football?
They still are, though. I'm not saying you don't have a head coach.
They're not. They're bad, and I'm not denying that. They're not the laughing stock. They're not.
They
showed the nation on a Monday night. They went toe-to-toe, and I thought we're the better team than Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa had a bad game. And we also saw them, get ripped apart by the Saints last week.
And you're right.
That same Tampa team.
I think this is you being a Jets fan and
being unable
to see anything positive in the Giants.
Here's the problem with what you're saying right now. We're only a week removed from me giving the Mets all the credit in the world for Steve Cohen and what he's ultimately going to do with the direction of his team. So you can't say that I'm biased here. All I'm saying to you is it's still a huge question mark. I'm not saying Joe Judge isn't the guy.
I
don't know that he is.
The way that people... is a question mark. I think the future is bright, and I think if you got the right GM coupled with this coach, and possibly a different quarterback, and I'm not sure about that right now. Starting next season, you take a big jump.
A lot of ifs there, Dave. A lot has to go right. All I'm saying is I'm not a hater.
You're going to replace Gettleman.
Of course.
And I like the coach, and let's see what the quarterback is. His audition continues tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
All right, so what's today? November 14th. So on Saturday, November 14th, you're going to tell me you're sold on Joe Judge.
Yes.
Like you, okay. I just disagree. It's not me being a hater. It's not me being a hater.
No, listen.
I need to see more.
Dead-eye accurate, and this is not one of those times. Okay. I love Joe Judge.
So if Joe Judge isn't the head coach in 3 years from now, you owe me $500.
No, but I will give you a tremendous apology.
Okay.
What am I, the K-Show, where I'm just giving money away? No.
I mean, you make more money than God.
How do you think that goes over? Hey, Cher. Yeah? I got to give Ty $500. Why? I thought Joe Judge was going to be a good head coach, and he's not.
Well, she loves me.
Yeah, she loves you. She doesn't want you to have all our money.
I think that if we were to inject her with, you know, truth serum, she would say that if there is one person outside of the family we can give money to, it is Ty Butler.
We need all the money we can get.
You're stinking rich. You're not commuting anywhere.
Rich.
Oh, come on. You don't have to commute anywhere. You're cooking at home.
Rich.
You're not going out to eat at restaurants, Dave. You're not struggling for money here. You're not pinching pennies.
First of all, get out of my pocket.
Okay.
All right, you go away from my pockets. That's number one. Number two, I never said we were struggling for money, but stinking rich and struggling for money are on two different sides of the aisle, my friend.
I think those are the only two options when it comes to you.
If you said, Dave, listen, I'm in a tough time, could I borrow some money? There's a realistic possibility that that's going to happen. If Joe Judge is not a good head coach, will I be giving you money for no reason? No. Certainly, no way, until at least you've done the full body wax, which you owe me from...
We're going to negotiate out of that. We're going to do that. And I think today we can try that out.
All right, here's what you and I are going to do. 800-919-3776. By the way, people on Twitter, very, very annoyed with you. Here's what I'd like, Ty. Last week you were overwhelmed, I don't know is the word, or just it was too much for you, or your head was not in the right place. You refused to do a poll question.
Well, you can't throw that at me at 10:45 when the show...
I'm ready now.
Okay.
It's simple, it's streamlined, and it's brilliant. Is Joe Judge the coach?
There we go.
That's it. You worded appropriately, but is Joe Judge, do you have full confidence in Joe Judge as the Giants coach? That might be it. That might be it. Yes, no, put it up on the poll. I'll retweet it. We'll get it going. Theme of the day. Have the Giants found their head coach in Joe Judge? And he tags me and ESPN and Jake Montgomery, who's a new addition to the programming side here and is going to be very involved in this show and other shows moving forward. Now, Jake, who seems to take a back seat to you, Ty, because I think he has reverence to you and looks at you as kind of a father figure, did say to me, and Jake, you can confirm this, during the break, Dave, I couldn't agree with you more. I love Joe Judge. I'm a big Giants fan, and all my friends do as well. Yes, Jake?
That is correct. I think Joe Judge is definitely the guy.
So did you vote in this poll?
I have not yet. I'm a little busy here in the new studios, but I'll definitely make sure to vote.
Okay. Would you like an update of where we are with the votes?
I would love an update.
All right. Small sampling so far. We can't call the state yet, but we can say 98 votes are in. 76% say yes, he's the answer. 9% only say no. 14% say they have not seen enough as of yet. So overwhelming people appreciate the job that one Joe did.
Wait until those mail-in ballots come in, my friend.
No, we actually allowed mail-in ballots early here.
Oh, did we?
Yes. We were not of the ilk where we waited to the end. We were welcoming of the mail-in ballot prior to the Twitter poll.
But they haven't come in and been counted yet. I think we're going to see a flip of the voting here.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I'm still in it.
Posted as we progress here all morning. You can vote on the Twitter. Have the Giants found their head coach in Joe Judge? 74% are saying, oh, yeah, absolutely is what they're saying. All right. Let's go to some of the calls. People want to talk about the Giants and the big game on the horizon tomorrow. Let's start out in beautiful Puerto Rico and go to Sean. Good morning, Sean. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, how are you?
Sean, it sounds like you could be 20 to 40 feet away from your actual phone.
No, I'm here.
All right.
Just a quick question. Giants beat Philadelphia. They pull it off against Cincy. They're trending in the right direction. It's a rich draft at any pick. Please tell me that doesn't mean Joe Judge will still be. I mean, that doesn't mean that Gettleman will still be there, right?
Now, therein lies the rub, and I think it's a great question. That gets me nervous. That gets me nervous because I've seen enough. I know that he's not the answer. I don't like what he's done. And if you're going to continue along with a guy that, in my estimation, and you'll get the, well, he drafted Darius Slayton, and that was a fine. Okay, great. But how many misses do you have to go through to believe that he's not the answer? And I'm sorry, and I'm sure he's a great guy, and I'd love to get a meal with him. As my future GM, I unequivocally do not want Dave Gettleman. I didn't want the hire originally. I don't like it anymore now. In fact, I like it less. I mean, you go around this team. Look at this organization. Look at this team. He drafted Saquon second, which was not the pick. You can go through it. Ogletree moved up for DeAndre Baker. Patrick Amame. It's over and over and over. He's not done a good job. You're not even sure about Daniel Jones. Andrew Thomas, does he look like he was? And I'm not saying he's going to be bad, because I think he will wind up being good. Would you rather have Becton, Wirfs, or Thomas right now? And probably in the foreseeable future. It's hard to envision that in a year or two you're going to flip and be like, yeah, I don't want Becton, I want Thomas. I'm sorry. He's not done a good job. And that scares me and frustrates me. Let's go to Greg in Piscataway. Greg, you're next up on 98.7.
Mr. Rothenberg, the leader of the crazed New York fan. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, Greg. How are you?
Dave, I'm good. Dave, if Daniel Jones can't win this game, I want nothing to do with him. I'm all in on tomorrow. This is the most excited that I've been in arguably 4 years for the Giants.
Now, Greg, which is a sad testament, to be honest, at 2-7, you're that excited for the game. But let me throw this on you. Giants lose 27-24. Jones goes for 290, three touchdowns, no turnovers, and Wentz just out-duels him.
I'm in on him. Because you know what? He proved that he can step up in a big game. And that's what I need. That's what I need from my...
But you agree with me, Greg, right? That you look at tomorrow's game as a fork in the road for the Giants and their organization, don't you?
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And like I said, if he comes out and has two turnovers in a big game, this is would you say that this is the biggest game of his career?
Yeah, I guess.
If he comes out and those two turnovers and looks bad, then that proves that he can't step up for the moment.
I don't know how many more, and thanks to the call, Greg, missed opportunities you can have with this guy. I mean, it is time to take the next step. It's year two, and I've heard so many, well, Eli back in year two. Eli won the division in year two. If the Giants are winning games, and we're 6-3 right now, and his stats are exactly as they were, you'd say, all right, you know what? It doesn't matter, because they're still winning. But they can't afford him to be a bystander. They need him to be the leader and the best player on this team, and not turn the football over every single game. And he had a good performance last week. He was not great. He was fine. I mean, you win a turnover battle by 5. And the other team has the football and are about 15 yards away from sending the game into overtime. That's pretty shocking, to be honest with you. And that's where they are. It's time. And again, I'm not even saying you have to win the game. But you have to show me something moving forward. And you have 7 games to do that. Rob in Red Bank. Rob, you're next up on 98.7. Good morning, Rob.
Hey,
how are you? What's up?
Hey, Dave. Second time, long time. Just before I get to my point, I just want to say, huge fan of you and the show, and it's an absolute crime that you guys are only 2 hours, not 3, during the week now.
Write a letter, Rob. Write a very strong letter.
You got it, boss. But, I just had a quick question. I feel like people forget that Teddy Bridgewater was just on the Jets. What was that? Right before Darnold with a McCown error?
It was last year.
Was that last? It was just, no, last year he was on the Saints.
But was it? He was traded in the offseason.
Oh,
he was
on the wow. So where
I think so, right? He was on the Jets going into last year, and they traded him before the season.
Yeah, you are right. So do you think that Jet fans regret that? Like, do you think if they had Teddy Bridgewater now that he would be a better option than Darnold? And then just one more thing before I let you go.
Well, let me answer that, and then you can ask your next one. I think that he would be a better option. I still think you'd be in a heap of trouble. The Jets talent-wise, are just it's almost non-existent. All right, what's your next question?
And then just I have a debate going with my friends. Who would you rather have right now as your quarterback going forward, Jared Goff or Teddy Bridgewater?
At their salaries?
You got to kind of just go with their current salaries.
I'll tell you this, Rob. Neither would really move the needle for me. If I had to choose one, and I don't love Bridgewater, but I guess Bridgewater is probably the guy I would choose.
I do have one fun fact about Teddy, just real quick. He's, as a career starter, 34-9 against the spread. Fun fact.
That is a fun fact, and a very lucrative fact as well. Good call. The K-Show has a contest going on right now and continuing along called 20 and 20, and it continues Monday at 3 o'clock. You said, I'm intrigued by this. Tell me more. First of all, they call it a contest. It's not a contest. It's a giveaway. They play audio of guys that have been on the show in the past, and they're not playing difficult audio. Like Tom Coughlin, Bill Parcells, the real tough one this week was Clyde Frazier. So they play these clips of audio. You call in with the answer, you get it right, and you win a big gift. Yesterday was cash. $500 worth of cash. So listen for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little bit more enjoyable. Monday, the guys are giving away the Bartesian, a home cocktail maker that automatically draws from your chosen spirits and dispenses a premium cocktail at the touch of a button in mere seconds. It's the 2020 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. All right. We have not talked a lot of Knicks over the last God knows how long because there has not been a lot to talk about. They haven't played a game since March. The draft is now Wednesday. There's now rumblings of what they might do, and let's get into it. All right. The name that you hear thrown out the most right now, and we will get to the calls on it because I do want your take at 800-919-3776, is Russell Westbrook. So my first thought is this. And I think this is my second and third thought as well. I don't want it. And I know that there are a lot of Knicks fans that say, oh, he makes us instantly credible. This is what I'm under the impression that they were going to kind of do this organically. And yeah, people say, well, you know, Dave, you can't win 19 games a year and build through the draft. But this is the opposite of all of that. And I thought Leon Rose was going to come in here with some semblance of a plan and put it into practice and not just anybody could go out and trade for Russell Westbrook. Anybody. He's got $130 million left on his deal. It's 3 years. And I think the final year when he'll be 34, turning 35, is going to be at $47 million. So they'll give him to you. It's probably a late first round pick, Frank Ntilikina. Maybe one other secondary piece. You can have him for almost nothing. But is this what I want? Do I want this to be turned into the Russell Westbrook show? And ball dominant. And I know he averages, what, 6, 7, 8 assists, whatever. He's averaged double-digit assists in the past. And then people say, oh, see, he passes the ball. Don't mistake that for what he is. This becomes the Russell Westbrook show. So I don't want any part of it. And I know there's a lot of people that disagree with me, and it's fine. But you understand what happens now. All of the hope for R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett becomes a second piece. R.J. Barrett becomes an afterthought when Russell Westbrook is on the court. It all funnels through him. Now, is he dynamic? Yes. Does he take you from, you know, the 17, 19, 20-win team you are to 31 or 33? Yes. So I guess the question is this, and I guess this is the analysis of it. If you are that desperate that you need to go from watching this team be realistically unwatchable and watching guys that really probably shouldn't be getting a lot of minutes in the NBA and winning 18, 20, 22 games to Westbrook and his energy and is 27, 8, and 7, or whatever it is that he's going to give you, or 30, 10 and 10, or whatever it is that he's going to give you. Mind you, he's 32 years old now. Game based on athleticism. That's something I want no part of. But if you, if it, and this is the difference, if you need to win 31 games and watch games and have a semblance of excitement, then maybe he is, in fact, the guy for you. I don't want it. He can't shoot the basketball. He doesn't get other guys involved. He's a selfish player. He's an athletic freak. I understand the positives that come along with him. But this team is not on the verge of winning anything. And I thought we just had the talk. I thought we just had the conversation of they're going to take a step back and appropriately and smartly build this team. Well, you tell me. And I'm sure there are a lot of you that disagree. Is bringing on a $130 million deal over the next 3 years wisely, intelligently, and smartly building this team? For me, the answer is an emphatic no. No, thank you. I don't want any part of it. Now, if you told me that Chris Paul was the guy that I could get here, I would think long and hard about that. Because, and I'll tell you why. In my mind, Chris Paul makes guys better. Chris Paul is the granted is I think 35, but Chris Paul makes guys better. And you'll see a better version of RJ Barrett. And you'll see a better version. I mean, look what he did with Tyson Chandler. He turned Tyson Chandler into an offensive force solely based on the alley-oops that those guys used to run back in New Orleans. And he's not the same player, but that's okay. And here's the thing. 2 years left on the deal. $85 million, but 2 years left on the deal. And you say, I want Westbrook. Be careful of that third year. $47 million with the way he plays at 35, be very careful of that. I think that's got to be a huge, huge, huge concern. 800-919-3776. So this is where we are. You know, and I just, what angers me and frustrates me, it really does, is I was led to believe, no, it's going to be different this time. This is the exact same garbage they always do. Give me the, let me overpay. And I've heard I heard Rick. I heard Kay say, you know, cap space is just air. Let me wait until there's a player who I deem more worthy of that money who becomes just dissatisfied with his current situation and needs to get out. Then I pounce. But not for this. Not now. Not for me. Jason in Queens. Jason, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, Jay. What's going on?
Hey, before I even get to my Westbrook point, I just want to say that we have something very much in common. We are diehard Giant fans, Knicks fan, Met fans, and Georgetown fans. And
really?
I think you're absolutely the best on the radio.
Well, we have that in common. I appreciate that. Our teams line up, and so it's been a hard run for us over the last few years, certainly.
Oh, yeah, pretty bad. So what I wanted to say about Westbrook was that I think you'll agree with me that you need two Hall of Famers to compete for a championship. If you look back historically, at least in the last 30 years or so.
Yeah, I think here's the thing, Jason. If you're going to talk about Knicks and compete for a championship, that discussion is DOA. You can't have that conversation.
No, I understand. But what I'm saying is the only reason that I would bring in Westbrook is if I believe that he can probably bring in a second guy, like possibly, a Donovan Mitchell, a Lillard, or even, dare I say, the Greek Freak. That's the only reason I think you would bring in a guy like that, if you know he can probably
bring in some help. If you told me that he could bring in Giannis, I would make that deal tomorrow. Tomorrow. And if you told me he's going to bring in Giannis, I would include the 8th overall selection in that trade. But that's a pipe dream.
Yeah, you give him anything he wants. No, I know, but that's the only way. Like, I agree with you completely. Westbrook is a great player, but he's not going to make anybody better. He might maybe bring us to an 8th seed, maybe, but what is that really going
to
do?
I find that hard to believe, to be honest with you, too. Now, you don't know what, and thanks for the call, you don't know what they're going to draft, and you don't know what Barrett's going to turn into, and you hope that Robinson continues to get better. But it's hard to imagine that this team, as currently constituted, is a playoff-caliber team. Isn't it? You add Russell Westbrook, you think it's a playoff team? And even if they are, and maybe this moves the needle for some people. I'm not looking to win 34 games and sneak into the eighth spot. I'm looking to build this organically. I want to build this the right way. I want this to be a team that is good for years. So I get better, and then he gets old, and then you look at the deal and you say, he's stealing money at this point, and you know that's what's going to happen. Why do you want that? It does not add up to me. It does not make sense to me. I don't want any part of it. I'm sure they'll do it. And that'll be the same. It'll be the same. And then Leon Rose is just like the rest of them. It's all the same. Spike in Jersey. Good morning, Spike. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, my friend. How are you this beautiful day? There's no rain.
No rain. Lovely day. Bright and sunny. Good morning.
I want to welcome Jake on board. And you know how much I love you guys. And Ty, being about 20 years younger than Dave, I think should be a little more appreciative of what you've done for him.
Here's the thing. Spike.
No, listen, that's a talent. That's a diamond in the rough.
I think you appreciate this, Spike. He can't see, as they say, the forest through the trees. He can't see the big picture. And what I do is I'm leading him into uncharted territory that he doesn't even recognize.
Yeah, there's a question. It's great stuff. It makes me smile ear to ear. Here's the difference. Chris Paul shows you how to play basketball. Russell Westbrook shows you how he plays basketball. That's the difference to me. One's a teacher, one's a doer. Chris Paul, in his heyday, like you said, he threw those lobs when J.R. Smith and Tyson Chandler were in New Orleans. He's a great, he's a fierce competitor. He doesn't have the athleticism, but I don't want to watch Russell Westbrook win six more games for the Knicks, and they'll be 24 and whatever, 58 or whatever the number
is. And if you told me this was an expiring deal, and thanks for the call, Spike, I could appreciate it, and I could wrap my arms around it. This is not an expiring deal. You're getting into a three-year situation with him, and his game is based on his athleticism. Do you envision that 35 making $47 million that you'll look and say, yeah, you know what? Oh, this was a great trade. I can see it now. Even 2 years, which is what Chris Paul has, I could deal with that. 3 years is an albatross. It will be a problem. Glenn and Ramsey. Glenn, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
All right, buddy. Listen, just a correction. Chris Paul has a three-year deal. It's a two plus a player option like Westbrook.
Okay.
So it's, they're both.
No, hang on. I don't think Chris Paul has, I think he has 1 year, and then it's the player option.
But here's the thing. He has a secondary option, according to HoopsHype.com. There's a second option that will be triggered because the rework of the CBA.
So you're telling me, and I don't know that this is true, you're telling me that Chris Paul controls his own salary for the next 3 years?
He has this year. He will have the first option, which is about $42 to $44 million. And then after that, because of the rework of the CBA, because of COVID, he has another option available to him.
There's no way he has 2 years of a player option.
Okay, if I'm looking at it correctly, okay, he has...
My understanding is this. He has this coming season, 2021, which starts on December 22nd, at $41 million. And the year after, player option, you're right on that, at $44 million, and then he's an unrestricted free agent.
Right, but here's the thing. It's not in here yet. It's not made known. But according to what they discussed earlier during COVID, with a lot of these contracts, the reworked CBA, which they can open up on both sides, meaning ownership and player, he can get another option added.
What do you mean he can get another? So can Westbrook get a fourth year added?
Westbrook, LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George, all these guys who work off quote-unquote supermax contracts, they control an option because of this whole thing. Not to say it's going to happen, Because, first of all, by the time Chris Paul would activate that, he'll be 38.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is if what you're saying is true, and I have no factual statement to know that that's true, of course he's gonna exercise another option at $45 million.
Of course, but obviously if you and I were at that age and someone offered us that crazy amount of money, we'd be stupid not to activate it. But the thing is, I don't want Westbrook. I'll take a team, like Spike just said, one teaches the game, one tells you how he plays the game. I totally agree with that philosophy. That's why Westbrook didn't work with Harden. That's why Westbrook, it kind of played out. It is what it is with Oklahoma City, with Durant, that whole thing. But to me, as a Knicks fan, I'd rather have a couple of years older and have a guy who's going to teach. It's all about
look, I said the and same thing, and I agree with you. Now, I don't know anything about this, and thanks for calling this third year, and I'm not getting involved. I don't want anybody at that level, at that stage of their career, for 3 years, at $45 million, because that becomes prohibitive for bringing in the guys that I want. I don't understand. All the discussion has been the young, disgruntled star, and now they're going to bring in this? That was everything we discussed. Oh, you know what they're going to do? Here's what they're going to do. They're going to bring in a Devin Booker, a Damian Lillard, like a Donovan Mitchell, and now I'm Westbrook? And I get the, and I'm sorry to call this guy out, because he tweets me all the time, and he's so annoying. And the dumbest tweet, hey, Rothenberg, has LeBron James lost any of his athleticism at the age of 35? How can you say Westbrook will? LeBron James is arguably the greatest player of this generation. Not even arguably, is the greatest player of this generation. And LeBron James is a top five player in the history of the game. Westbrook, they don't want Westbrook. You think the Lakers would move on from LeBron? You couldn't give them enough. They're going to give away Russell Westbrook. Why? Because they don't want to pay him that kind of money. They're looking to restart. So they're looking to restart. You're looking to restart, and you're going to take the piece that they want to get rid of. Doesn't make sense. 800-919-3776. Rothenberg with you. By the way, 10:30 is right around the corner. We're going to have to talk about the body waxing, all of it, because it's Stump Rothenberg, and it's coming your way soon right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, New York City. Everybody knows there are things in life that make total sense, like switching to GEICO. They offer 24/7 access to licensed agents and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
Other things make no sense, like erasers that don't erase and only smudge. Whoever is making these erasers should call them what they are, smudgers.
However, it makes total sense to bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. You could save a lot, and they can insure your motorcycle, boat, and RV. GEICO also has discounts for military and federal employees.
Busy talkers, however, make no sense. If you're so busy, why do you spend so much time telling me about it?
On the other hand, it still makes total sense to switch to GEICO. They have an industry-leading mobile app that you can use to pay your bill, file and manage a claim, or add a new driver. They even have local agents you can meet face-to-face.
Conversely, the length of drugstore receipts makes no sense. I came for aspirin and left with roughly 6 feet of paper. Maybe I'll start my novel.
So, New York City, it makes sense to switch to GEICO. Online, over the phone, or with your local agent.
Dunkin' Go-To's now with brews. Pair a medium hot coffee with a sausage wake-up wrap, a bagel with cream cheese spread, a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant, or a power breakfast sandwich for $3, $4, $5, and $6. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Exclusions apply. Limited time offer.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Here's Howie Long for Skechers Arch Fit Shoes.
If you've never tried Arch Fit Shoes from Skechers, you're missing out on next level comfort. Saying you like comfort but not trying Arch Fit is like saying you like Italian food but you've never tried pasta. Skechers teamed up with podiatrists who used over 20 years of data to create a shoe that provides total foot and arch support for all day comfort. Arch Fit distributes support across the arch no matter what foot type you have. You don't need an arch problem to love how they feel.
See all the styles of machine washable Arch Fit Shoes now at Skechers.com.
Broadcast.
Master, Brent Musburger.
Want to know where to start for in-game handicapping? I'll tell you, OddsTrader.com. Live in-game odds, real-time bet tracker, stats, matchup analysis, power rankings, injury reports, and much more. OddsTrader.com is your personal sports betting command center. And best of all, it's free. Get the right live info and start winning at OddsTrader.com.
Compare sportsbook bonuses right now at OddsTrader.com.
All right, fourth down, game on the line. Uncle Louie, you run a slant past the couch. Dina, I want you to go long around the kitchen table. Break. Sit. Hike.
Sure, not everything works as well from home, but seasonal scratch-offs from the New York Lottery sure do. With four new games and a top prize of $500,000, they're the perfect gift. You must be 18 years or older to purchase a lottery ticket. Please gift responsibly.
All right, Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. I don't know. We're going to find out about this option year for Chris Paul. But there is no way that after a pandemic that the players get the advantage of just adding another player option season. So until I'm proven otherwise, you have it?
All right. So I did some research. Reached out to the great Bobby Marks. Tremendous job he does at ESPN.
This is what a producer does, by the way.
Listen, look at the things
people
I do for you.
People all the time say, what? He's just a burden on you, Dave. He brings you down. He's not as good as you think he is. This just shows, this very moment shows what a talent, in fact, you are.
People bring me down. I guess that gets lost in the shuffle there. But here's Bobby Marks. He says, no change with current contracts. CBA just tweaked, but nothing dramatic. So we just had a caller lie on the air.
It's made up.
Yeah, he just lied on the air. I think he should be banned from the show.
It didn't sound like he was lying.
No, he
it
was
sounded
lying.
Like he was confused, and now we have remedied that.
He wanted attention, and we gave it to him for no reason. He should be banned from the show.
That's your department. You can ban him if you'd like. So do you agree with me? I know you're pro Westbrook, right?
I am.
Like the Knicks to...
You are out of your mind.
I'm not. But you would prefer Westbrook or Paul?
I would prefer Chris Paul. Only because of like what you mentioned, there's no way Chris Paul's a better player. But with the contract situation,
that's a big deal. That
he's
contract.
Got, yeah. But Chris Paul also does have a history of injuries. Like we saw the Rockets get robbed of an opportunity to win the title in 2017 because he got injured in Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. I mean, he was great last year, but yeah, the injury is a concern.
Let someone else deal with that headache. And when I get to watch him on a bad team, because this is going to be a bad team, whether he's here or not. Better with him, bad regardless.
Russell Westbrook.
I don't want to get involved with that.
Russell Westbrook immediately makes you a playoff team, without question. That's not even an argument.
I don't know.
He's one of the 15 best players in the league, and you're going to say no to him because you're too good? I don't understand that, Dave. Hey, I've got a stat for you. You want it?
I don't want.
I've got a stat for you.
I was led to believe this was not going to be this lazy way. This is not a rebuild.
It's not lazy.
This is not a rebuild.
It is a rebuild. You go out there. Look at what the Lakers did. They were rebuilding. Then they went out there, signed LeBron James, traded all their young players for Anthony Davis. That's what a rebuild is. And then they win the title the next year.
You see that in the future for the Knicks?
You trade for Russell Westbrook. I'm not saying you're going to win a championship.
And then you trade for Russell Westbrook. You think other guys are desperate knocking down the door to get here to play with him?
I don't know that you're going to get, like, you know, Giannis or, you know, Kawhi Leonard, like the stars of the league. But you're going to want to, you know, that's going to attract other players who are good. And then you work well in the draft and you see what you got. 27-8-7 last year.
I think this becomes an albatross of a contract in the final year.
You worry about the immediate future.
And is preventative of being the team that I would like.
Dave, your team stinks. If there's a great player who wants to come here, you trade for him. And then you build the organization around him.
You don't know that he wants to come here.
Well, that's what the reports are. Mark Stein put that out yesterday. One of the desired teams on his wish list is the New York Knicks.
Yeah, who else does he wish to go to?
So the Hornets was on that list too.
This guy will go anywhere.
He wants to come here, Dave.
He'll go. I mean, if the Hornets are on your wish list, you would go anywhere.
Let me give you the stat though that
if
I came across yesterday.
On Mars, you would take that if the Hornets are on your wish list.
Can I give you the stat?
Give me the stat.
It's a good one. 27-8-7. That was his stat line last year. Mm-hmm. Guess how many players in Knicks franchise history has matched or exceeded that stat line? 27-8-7.
I'd say none.
None.
Yeah.
I never said that he doesn't make you better.
So you're
never said that he doesn't stuff the stat sheet.
You're acquiring a guy who immediately becomes one of the best players you've ever had in franchise history, and you're saying no.
Yeah, no.
It's incredible. Like,
if you told me it's a one-year deal, I'm all about it. Even two, I could deal with it. I don't want him for three at 47.
The problem is that...
And then what happens if the fourth year's added in, like the caller said before?
Dude, so here's what the problem is. Like, I got it. You've been in an unhealthy relationship with your team for so long. It is clouding your judgment. So, I mean, you don't really... Like, you're not someone we can look to as far as this conversation is concerned, to give a legitimate, rational opinion or a conclusion on this, because you're just not in a right headspace emotionally.
No, I don't agree with that. I think I'm very, very grounded, and I just think it's not a move that I want to make.
You're a playoff team
kind of salary
next.
And to watch the Russell Westbrook show, I don't want it.
Next year, you got the 8th overall pick, so you add an impact player there. You've got R.J. Barrett.
I don't know that that's an impact player.
Well, you hope to.
I do hope to.
I'm saying if things go right.
I've had enough of you. I want to take a call or two, and I want to go to Stump Rothenberg. You're upsetting me. Let's go to Richie in Southern California. Good morning, Richie. You're on 98.7.
What's going on, Dave? Big fan. We spoke before. Told you were the GOAT of sports radio.
Appreciate it.
Yes. And I completely agree here. Russell Westbrook would just be a typical, like, big-name grab. Let's bring this guy in. I agree with Ty in the fact that it automatically makes us a playoff team. I think that they'll put pieces around them enough to sneak into the playoffs and then be outed in the first round. And that's not what I want. You know, that's not what I want as a Knicks fan. I think it's like, you know, it's similar to the Phil Jackson hire. It was like, a big name grab, Phil Jackson, the greatest coach ever. But he never proved anything.
He didn't do anything. I thought Leon Rose is going to be different. And that to me, and thanks for the call, and appreciate the kind words, feels like a lazy way of trying to turn this thing around. Feels lazy to me. Oh, let me just bring some high-priced guy who's going to change the narrative. It's not going to change the narrative. You'll be a better team. I'm not arguing that. You might get into the postseason. Where are you going? I'd rather wait until there's a disgruntled star who's 26 or 27, and pounce on that, then jump involved with this. All right, I love the conversation. We got a break from it. It's Stump Rothenberg. It's 800-919-3776. 2 weeks ago, not great. I think 2 weeks ago, we were, 5-4? Last week, I believe, was very, very well done. It's something like a 6-1, of 6-2, something like that. And the week before was a disaster for Ty. Is the full body waxing live on Instagram. So we'll discuss that, get Ty's take, and maybe he makes another offer today. But let's line him up. Came out of prison, played for the Expos, excellent player, speedy as all can be, and I believe was a big triples guy, but obviously never.
That's some career arc, my friend. Let's do one more. We can do one more.
But here's my thing. I'm not ending on a loss, so I'll go until noon if it means we have to get another victory. So
it's R.J. Bell. I mean, you call him a friend if you want to get rid of him.
Let's go to Steve in Closter. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Which two players with the exact same name for Korea lead the majors in home runs?
What do you mean lead the majors in home runs?
So combined for a career, they have the most home runs. They have the same exact name.
Ty, do you understand this question?
I do not. Can you repeat the question, my friend?
Which two players with the exact same name for a career to combine their home runs lead the league? Combined, they have 806 home runs. It's two players with the exact same name.
Like first and last name?
Yes.
Same name combined for the most home runs?
Yes.
That's a terrible question.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out on this question. No disrespect, Steve.
So are we moving past him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, Steve. Give us a call back next week.
Frank Thomas.
The Met, Frank Thomas. That's a horrendous. And you agree, right? You're the arbiter here. That's a horrendous question.
I'm out on that.
I'll take the blame again.
What are you doing? All I do is speak highly of you.
It's
and
a rookie mistake. I feel like I don't know what you know. So the more said
about what
I'm
I know,
here,
you need to determine what's a good question. That's a terrible question.
It's coming back to bite you in the fanny.
You know what? Ty's better than you. I'm sorry. Ty is better than you.
Oh, man.
I didn't want to say it, but it's true. Let's go to Chris and Beth Page. He typically has a good question. Chris, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, I appreciate that. And let me quickly say, Horace Greeley died. He lost the popular election, then he died before they even counted the Electoral College. So that's a good tidbit to know. Horace Greeley. Anyhow.
Chris.
Anyhow. Dave, Electoral College question. Okay. Since 1912, this state, with a 92% rate, has elected the most presidents. This one state, 92%.
I don't understand the question. What do you mean this state has elected the most presidents?
This state, whoever they voted for, won the electoral vote, has that person has become president. In other words, so this time, let's put it this way. Ohio voted for Trump.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'll say New Hampshire.
92% is New Mexico. Whatever way they vote, that person becomes president. That's...
Boy, we really have gone to the bottom of the barrel here today, huh? Ty, I think you got to screen the calls moving forward.
Come on, let's not completely eviscerate Jake. He's still new on
the scene.
Yeah,
don't give up on me, Dave. What's with that?
Well, they're horrendous. I mean, I carried the first part just with my genius alone, but, I mean, the last few questions, Jake, have been terrible.
I mean, we're not going out on the best note when we're, talking about deaths to politicians, but, look, we live and we learn.
All right, are we calling it, or do we have any belief in one more call?
Let's try one. I don't want to end on that note, so let's just try one.
Because you would
more.
Agree, and you agree that the same name with the most home runs. Yeah. I mean, what are these? What's happening here?
Let's try one more.
All right, I'm trusting you. We'll go to Richard in Manhattan. Richard, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, a New York Giant question. You're a Giant fan. 1984, Bill Parcells' second year. The Giants are 9-5. All they have to do is win one of their last two games to go to the playoffs. And they lose to two lousy teams. On the final Sunday, they lose to New Orleans. So they finish 9-7. They got to hope for something to happen for them to get into the playoffs. What happened on that last Sunday? They're 9-7 and will not get into the playoffs unless this two things happen. What happened on that Sunday?
I don't know this. 81, I remember. 84, I do not. So I don't know the answer to that.
Dallas and St. Louis both lost that last Sunday. Giants backed into the playoffs.
Yeah, they beat the Rams and then lost to the Niners. Yes, that we remember. All right, so we'll call it there. What really was a very inefficient, poorly executed Stump Rothenberg, thanks to Jake. All right.